In the name of Jesus. There was no indulgence for Peter. He did Antichrist. Jesus exorcised him. Get behind me, Satan. Our Lord certainly does not beat about the bush. Poor old Peter, what had he done to get wiped out like that? The confession of St. Peter can hardly be improved upon. He hadn't cooked it up. It was given him from the highest possible source. Jesus says so. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Can't get a more solid confession than that. So solid that Jesus says that is what he will build his church on, playing with Peter's name. Peter confessed what was given him to confess. What went wrong was by his subordinating that to the way he figured things out and how they ought to go. He subordinated the Christ, the Son of the living God, to his definition of the Christ, and so then also of the living God. To how he worked these words, to what worked for him. How Jesus works his words, does his words, how Jesus does the Christ, the Son of the living God, he tells with his prediction of the Passion. That destroys the Christ, the Son of the living God, as confessed by Peter. Peter's confession given him to confess, he denied. He would not let Jesus do his being the Christ his way. He would lay on Jesus the sort of Christ he wanted him to be. Now, the Gospels make it clear that Peter was a pretty emotional chap, great on gut reactions. And by his emotions, he usually got things wrong. He certainly loved Jesus. And so was it love for Jesus that prompted him to protest against Jesus having such a hard time ahead? The demands of love can get things terribly wrong. Law wrong. Not love, but faith. Faith has nothing to point to of itself, not even how much love it's got going. Faith has nothing to say about itself, but only what it is given. Given as the Lord gives his gifts with his words, words which are his to do and to give what they say. Peter would not let Jesus be such a Christ, such a Son of the living God. He attempted to take control of the words given him to confess. He would stop Jesus doing them his way. Recently at the Jordan, at Jesus' baptism, the name Ebed Yahweh was placed on him by the one whom he here recalls, my Father who is in heaven. Suffering servant, son, is taken up by Satan at the temptations in ways that offer alternative ways of his doing his name, non-Calvary, theology of glory ways. Satan speaks again at Calvary. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Peter speaks for Satan, even with a heart full of love, this shall never happen to you. You can confess, saying all the right words with a heart full of love for an alternative Christ, and be the mouthpiece of Satan. Seminary attempts to fill you with all the right words. And you are daily tempted to take them over, run them the way you figure they ought to run. They aren't your words to run as you may wish to make them run. They are his words, and he runs them as the Christ, the Son of the living God, who goes to Calvary, identified as the suffering servant who makes himself a sacrifice for sin. Yours too, all of them. Even your satanic attempts to commandeer him. That too, and especially that, he would bring you to repentance of. Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Feed my lambs, pastor my sheep, feed my sheep. You cannot be a bigger sinner than Peter with his satanic Christology, Ohne Kreuz, keine Christologie, Martin Kähler. Nevertheless, Jesus did not give up on Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Have you ever thought of Jesus praying for you like that? You might ask him. The good news is not in some Peter, mighty hero of faith, prince of the church, number one pope. That's all law stuff. Rather, Peter, greatest possible sinner, who had such a savior, who was the yet biggest sinner of us all, for he had the lot, and he answered for the lot at Calvary. Such is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then there are the chummiest words that we hear from Jesus spoken to Peter. How's about taxes? What do you think? We are sons and are free, but we'll pay it anyhow. And Jesus arranged for the shekel for the tax, for me and for you. Ground level stuff, and with a chuckle. That's where it's at for the two of them together. There is something special with Jesus and Peter, and with you too. He doesn't do us by numbers. You, sinner, repentant, forgiven, for Christ's sake, for Calvary's sake, here today. How's about the vocabs? What do you say?